We're back on In Focus News Radio KMAN, talking with Perry Wiggins, Executive Director of the Governor's Military Council. He joins us here in studio, and I know there's some changes going on right now at Fort Riley. We heard the news recently that there will be a change of command here. The commanding general, Kolaszewski, is going to move on somewhere else, and someone will replace him.
That's right. That's the way the Army goes rolling along, right? So, you know, John's been announced that he's been nominated for his third star and been also recognized and going to possibly be the commander of our 5th United States Corps, which is going to be at Fort Knox, Kentucky. I think that's a great news for Fort Riley and the 1st Infantry Division and for our area, as these leaders that come out of Fort Riley continue to be recognized, promoted, and moved up. As you recently remember, you know, we had Joe Martin that came out, and now he's the Vice Chief of Staff for our Army. It's always good to have people like that in positions of leadership in our Army, and it does our region good. And then we have D.A. Sims, who's going to come in and replace him. He's got a great reputation. I hear super things about him, and looking forward to getting him on board here in the Big Red One. Never served here. So, you know, he's going to have an epiphany that he's fixing to join the best division in the United States Army.
Is he going to experience some hunting trips over at Chapman on the
yeah, if he's a hunter, we'll definitely take him out. You know, that's the thing about Kansas that really it surprises me. We have soldiers, when I used to do the newcomers brief, I'd say, what are your hobbies? And the guys say, well, I love to fish and hunt. And I'm really going to miss that now that I'm here at Fort Riley. And I tell them, you know, there's a big old lake north of Fort Riley, and lots of people go there. So, yeah, if he's that, we're going to get him involved and introduce him to the people here and get him involved in K-State sports, which, I thoroughly love. Being a season ticket holder and having my parking space out there, I truly enjoy my time here in the Central Flint Hills region.
One of the things, and I don't know if this is true with other communities where there are posts, but we've had a number of past generals that have retired here and have also entered public service.
That's
correct. Talk about Mike Dodson.
Right.
Has served on the city commission, now running for Senate.
Right.
Phil Maddox.
That's right.
Is a candidate for county commission. You are serving, you know, with the governor. And not in elected capacity, but there are, and I know that there are others, and I think that speaks really well for this area, that this has become home for a lot of folks that have settled in.
Yeah, and you know, I tried to emphasize this with the governor, that getting military members that are departing or separating from the military service to call your state home is important, because they have that service gene. And just because they come out of uniform doesn't mean they don't want to continue to serve. So to me, they're model citizens. They have values that they come out of the service with. And one of those things is service, selfless service. And I think that's a great thing for our region. So, yeah there's a lot of old guys out there. We call them gray beards. They're doing things. You forgot about General Myers, who's sitting there at K-State University.
I've heard of him.
President. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a pretty, you know, important guy, but
I didn't forget about him. It just wasn't a Fort Riley
oh yeah, that's true.
Relationship,
yeah,
there, that's all.
He wore the blue. You're exactly right. Mm-hmm. And you know, there's guys like Art DeGroat out there that, you know, there are lieutenant colonels that retired that are doing incredible things for and being ambassadors for our service.
Gary LaGrange is one who's
right.
You know, done some tremendous work here with the SAVE program.
That's right.
There are a lot of others.
There are. And so, Dave, I appreciate you pointing that out, because it's always good to recognize those that continue to strap on the mantle of service and go out there and make their communities better. And we're blessed. We're blessed to have that.
You know, we were talking with NBAF earlier, and they mentioned there's a bunch of new hires that they've had, and a lot of them are veterans. So it's good to hear that there's some job opportunities here locally.
Yeah, you know, I mean, we got a lot of young entrepreneurs that are leaving the service, taking off the uniform, and trying their hand at new businesses. And a lot of their spouses are doing the same thing, which to me is critical. It's part of the lifebloods of our community, and it does my heart good to see these individuals out there stepping out into the transition process in the civilian, which, believe it or not, it's pretty hard for some. And a lot of anxiety associated with that. So I always tell the community members, they ask me how they can help, is wrap your arms around them and tell them, you know, they're a part of the community. You're going to support them. And that'll make them feel a whole lot better as they try to step out of uniform and move into the Hawaiian shirts like Dave.
Well, you wore yours today. I went with a different route, but we are commonalities there. We have those.
96 degrees today, Dave. That's pretty hot.
You've been in Kansas long enough to know.
I have.
You know, one thing we don't talk with you a whole lot on here, and I might just ask you. You're the executive director of the Governor's Military Council. Some people might not understand what all your duties entail. Can you kind of explain what you do?
Sure. You know, I kind of take a look at lines of effort, and I have about 5 to 7 lines of effort. And, of course, based on resources, time, energy, you know, money, it's which ones you can focus on at the time. But we look at building the military strength here in force structure and mission in the state. We also look at quality of life for our service members and their families that come into the state of Kansas. And some of those are things like reciprocity, licensure for spouses, child care for families. And then the other thing that we do is we try to bring in defense industry and other industries that have skill sets that require, a military type skills. Primarily so that we can keep our separating and retiring service members here in the state of Kansas. And then the other thing that we try to do is we try to bring a resiliency to our installations that we already have here in the state of Kansas. And that's through, like, wind energy mitigation. You know, we need to have a balance and strike a balance with some of these wind energy farms that are going here in the state of Kansas. And we do a pretty good job. But, you know, a lot of people don't understand that when you put those things up, it impacts especially helicopter operations and training, unmanned aerial vehicle training, and it can really shut down missions and shut down and impact readiness. And that's something that we got to take into consideration. So there's how we protect the resiliency of an installation.
All right. And you've worked under, what, 3 governors now, or is that right?
No, I actually have worked under 3 governors. I worked under Governor Brownback and Governor Collier and now Governor Kelly.
Hmm. Interesting. It's interesting that they keep you on here. We must have a pretty good track record.
No, I'm humbled. You know, the bottom line is I look at it through a lens of service and how I can set an azimuth and a velocity that works for the servicemen and women that stand on point. I'm not, for me, when you're doing things for all the right reasons, then you can sleep with yourself at night and get after it, and it doesn't matter the political aspects of that. I try to separate all of that so I can serve those in uniform and those that stand with those in uniform. And I even try to get in sometimes a little bit out of my lane with the veterans, because to me I have a soft spot in my heart for about the 198,000 veterans we have in our state. And so for me, it's a work of the heart.
Absolutely. Well, that's good to hear. You know, and I know we're a little short on time here, but I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you. We've got a big anniversary coming up here, June 6th. Of course, people always remember as D-Day, the anniversary of D-Day.
Oh, it's important. You know, I tell you, we have Fort Riley that's right here in your region. And a lot of people have never read about the Big Red One. And I will tell you, if you read about the Big Red One, and this is our grandfathers. These are the folks I talk about periodically on the show here, Brandon. You know, I always bring up, you know, we have individuals sitting in nursing homes today and in their homes that are reaching a significant age. And they have stories inside them that will make you swell up with pride to be an American. I mean, it's incredible when you sit down. So take time and stop and listen. Those individuals, what you hear about D-Day, what you see in the movies, pales to what was reality.
You know, General, there's you talk about some of the veterans, and there's an interesting opportunity today. I don't know if you've heard of Lazone Graves. He's a Manhattan resident, a World War II veteran and Korean War veteran, and he turns 101 today. And I understand they're having a little bit of an event in his honor today.
Wow, that's incredible. That's incredible. Yeah. That goes off. I will tell you, we have national treasures in our communities. And some of them are out there sitting on a front porch, mm-hmm. unassuming, And some of them had to get permission from their parents to sign up to enter the service. Some of them didn't ask permission and just entered and traveled thousands of miles away and fought for this nation. And they came back, rolled their sleeves up, built this nation and the greatest nation on this earth, and Japan and Germany, if the truth be told, and they didn't ask for anything. How humbling is that?
Yeah.
That is a truly humbling experience, and that's a true American patriot.
Yeah. Thank you to VFW Post 1786, Commander Dan Watkins letting us know about that. And that'll take place at noon today. Anybody who's interested in participating in that, they're gathering at Griffith Park around 11:30. They're going to parade over to his home, and I know he's going to be presented a flag. They're going to sing happy birthday to him, of course.
We got to ask him what the secret is. 101 yeah. years old.
Yeah.
You know, I asked a gentleman that was 107 one time what was his age. He was a military guy. And he said, bourbon and cigars. So there you go.
Everybody has something different.
Yeah, no, I just got to find the secret, Dave.
Well, you know, that may be a fun path to follow.
It might be. It might be. Secrets to living over 100.
Very good. Well, we sure appreciate you visiting with us here today, and we'll talk to you again next month.
Thanks, Brandon.
And Perry Wiggins joining us here, Executive Director of the Governor's Military Council. Don't forget, tomorrow, a very good show lined up. We'll talk CVB and we'll talk research and extension, but a very special program from 9:30 to 10. We'll have a community conversation on race here on In Focus.
Looking forward to that. And coming up next hour, we're going to preempt to the Clark Howard Show. As today, we here at Manhattan Broadcasting recognize the 70th anniversary of the first day of broadcast for News Radio KMAN. It wasn't News Radio KMAN, it was just KMAN at the time, on AM, AM only. So we'll have some past and present folks that'll be joining us here for the program, looking forward to some memories. CBS News is next. It's 10 a.m. Good morning.